I think today's gospel is very interesting, especially when we think about the gospel that we heard last week, which is these two passages are right next to each other. The gospel that we heard last week, which I'll remind us of what that was, and then the gospel that we hear today. So in today's passage, like we just heard, Jesus tells his disciples about the suffering and death that he's going to undergo, and Peter will have nothing of it. He takes Jesus aside and rebukes him. And in response, Jesus has some of the harshest words in the scriptures for Peter. "Get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me." So what I think is really interesting about that is that this follows the conversation that we heard Jesus have with Peter last week, which went very differently. If you remember, last week, Peter professed his and the other disciples' faith in Jesus. He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then in response to Peter's profession of faith, Jesus said, "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." So we have two very different passages happening right next to each other. Last week we heard very high praise for Peter from Jesus. Jesus says to Peter, "You are the rock, and upon this rock I will build my church." And now immediately after that, what happens? Jesus starts talking about suffering and death and how he's going to suffer and die. And then Peter says, "No way, that's not going to happen to you." And that's when Jesus rebukes Peter so harshly. So I just want to point out some similarities between these two passages that I think are really interesting. First of all, Jesus uses the word rock, or a word for rock, in both passages. Last week, we heard Jesus say, because of his profession of faith, "You are Peter," which itself means rock in Aramaic and in Greek. "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." And that word in Greek is petra, and that just means a rock or a stone with which one builds something. So last week, Peter is called a building stone. This week, Jesus uses another word for rock, except in our English translation, it's not as obvious to us. Here, Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan, you are an obstacle to me." And the Greek word for this is skandalon. This is where we get our English word for scandal. "You are a scandal to me." But literally in Greek, it means a stumbling block. So last week, Jesus is calling Peter a rock with which one builds. This week, Jesus is calling Peter a rock that somebody trips over. It's pretty interesting images that we're having here. The other similarity that I think is really important is that Jesus is pointing out that there's a big difference between the way that God sees and the way that we human beings see. So if we think to what the conversation last week, it started out by Jesus asking the question to his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" So in other words, he's asking them, "What's the human perspective on me?" And what do the disciples say? They say, "Well, some say John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and some say Jeremiah, and others say one of the prophets." So the human perspective on Jesus is that he's a wise man, a teacher, a healer. But then Jesus said last week to the disciples, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answers for them, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus says to Peter, now this is what's important, he says, "Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my heavenly Father." In other words, Peter, you're speaking from God's perspective. It's God who has shown you this, not from the human perspective. So last week we saw what the human perspective on Jesus was, which is that he was just a really good and even great person. But what's God's perspective on Jesus? Well, that was the faith that Peter expressed when he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." So God sees who Jesus really is, the Savior of Israel, and the Son of God, God himself. This week, we have the same kind of thing happening. Because we just remember what we just heard. Jesus is talking about suffering, how he's going to suffer and die. Peter says, "Lord, this will never happen to you," and rebukes him. What does Jesus say to Peter? "Get behind me, Satan. You're thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." So last week, Peter expresses God's perspective on Jesus. This week, now when they're talking about the suffering of Jesus, Peter's stuck in the human perspective. Jesus says, "You're thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." So, what's the point for us? Well, we want to see as God sees. We want to see things as not just as we human beings see things, but as God sees. And the issue this week in this passage is suffering and death. So the fact that Jesus was saying that he was going to need to suffer and die was a scandal, a stumbling block for Peter. And it's understandable because we hate suffering and death too. Peter understood that Jesus was the Savior of Israel, God himself even. And it's pretty hard to understand that God himself in Jesus needs to die. So I guess I just want us to reflect on how this is so true in our own lives. How to us, so to Peter, in his human perspective, the worst possible thing is suffering and death. And isn't that our human perspective too? That in our own lives, the worst possible thing for us is suffering and death? And that's not God's perspective. That God allowed Jesus to suffer and to die and then to rise. So God saw how suffering and death in Jesus, even though that appeared to be the worst thing, is actually the best thing. And thank God, because the suffering and death and resurrection of Jesus is my salvation and it's your salvation. It's the only reason that we can go to heaven, that we have any hope at all. It's because Jesus suffered and died and was raised. But how do we approach suffering and death in our own life? Well, we avoid it like crazy. I was just thinking about how my family's on vacation a couple weeks ago. We were up north at a cabin, and one of my nephew who's named after me, James Matthew. I'm Matthew James. He's James Matthew. He's six, I think. And anyway, James Matthew got a big sliver in his foot. And this is causing him quite a bit of an anxiety, and he's very, very pain averse. Their yearly trip for a flu shot is really dramatic when they bring their kids in for that, especially James. So anyway, James is going to need to get this sliver out, and so he's... My sister lays him on the kitchen table, and I guess thankfully I have three nurses in my family, so everybody's kind of taking their turn, and he's screaming bloody murder. I was sitting out by the campfire, and then finally my sister comes and gets me and says, we need some divine intervention here, so would you please get in here? So I went in and we prayed and prayed with James, and he's screaming and crying. And then finally my sister-in-law Kelly is able to remove it, but I was just thinking about that today, how, I mean, James thought that, like, he's been tortured and perhaps was on his way to his eternal reward as he was laying there. So in James's perspective, is the worst thing that was happening. But actually what was happening was his healing. He's being healed in the process, and was healed, 100%, completely healed. But it's painful. So if only in our own life we could see from God's perspective. I wish that James was able to see, I wish that my little nephew was able to see from our adult perspective what was going on, which was not his destruction, but actually his salvation, his healing. How much God wishes that for us too. That the sufferings that we experience in our life, we could approach with faith. Because the truth is that everything that we suffer, God allows. God could prevent anything that happens to us. This came home very close to home for my family. We just experienced a tragedy a couple nights ago. My 23-year-old first cousin of mine was killed in an accident in Sioux Falls. His two parents, my aunt and uncle, are in such grief. His one sister is grieving so much. My grandfather, our whole family. And the Lord is always allowing us, or always inviting us, to look at all the sufferings of our life, even tragedy, with His eyes, with eyes of faith. We might not understand why God allows the things that He does, but He's inviting faith that there's purpose and a plan, and that the suffering that He allows in our life, if we're in Jesus, then the suffering and even death that He allows in our life serves a healing purpose, a purpose that can heal us. Of course, we're going to go through the necessary grief process, which is part of our being human. It's good to grieve. It's important to grieve. We have to. It's worth grieving loss and suffering. And then, guys, God's inviting us not to stay in our human perspective, but to look at Him with hope and faith and confidence. If we suffer with Jesus, we'll live with Jesus. If we die with Jesus, in Jesus, we'll rise with Jesus and in Jesus. And the next life is so much better than this life. You know, we fight tooth and nail to stay here in this place, but yet the next place is so much better. That's God's perspective. So brothers and sisters, today let's pray that more and more we can see as God sees, especially we can bring to Him the suffering in our life that troubles us, that has wounded us. Let's ask Jesus to bring light there, to bring healing there, to help us have eyes of faith, to believe that as the cross of Jesus, even though it appeared to be the worst thing, actually brought life and healing, that in Jesus our own sufferings too can be a source in Him of life and healing.